With a look at your latest local news, I'm Jevy Ebanks. The murder trial of Demisio Frederick begins to move towards its conclusion tomorrow. Mr. Frederick completed his testimony and cross-examination on Tuesday, marking the substantial portion of the defense's case. Today, the jury heard from character witnesses who provided written statements on his behalf. One witness, who said she'd known Mr. Frederick all his life, described him as mature, disciplined, focused, and level-headed. She told the court he was principled and committed to being a productive and respected member of society. The witness spoke about his behavior during family disputes, describing him as calm but protective, not only of his mother, but also of his wider family, including his uncle, who he's accused of killing, and his grandfather, who was seen swinging a machete at him during a 2021 altercation in which he intervened to defend his mother. The witnesses said she had no doubt that Mr. Frederick was not capable of the crime alleged. She pointed to his continued concern for others, even while in custody at HMP Northward, noting that he regularly calls to check on those who've supported him, even when one might expect the support to flow in the opposite direction. She also described his care for her family during a cancer diagnosis, saying he went to great lengths to offer help. The court also heard a statement from his mother. Tomorrow, the courts is expected to hear final submissions from both the Crown and defense, addressing outstanding matters raised through the trial, as well as issues raised in chambers. Radio Cayman was present for in-chambers legal arguments, but as they were not heard in the presence of the jury, they will not be reported on until after the court has ruled and the trial has concluded. Following final submissions, counsel for both sides will deliver their closing arguments. Trial Judge Justice the Honorable Cheryl Richards, KC, head of the Criminal Division, is expected to begin her submission to the jury thereafter. She's anticipated to conclude her summation on Friday, after which the jury will begin its deliberations. The Cayman Islands is the first British overseas territory to co-host the United Kingdom's annual Sanctions Forum, drawing a record turnout to Grand Cayman. As Radio Cayman's April Cummings report, the event showcased Cayman's growing role in global financial regulation.
131 delegates attended the UK Foreign, Commonwealth and Development Office Sanctions Forum earlier this month, representing the UK, Crown dependencies and overseas territories. The three-day gathering focused on how jurisdictions apply and enforce sanctions, share intelligence, and tackle emerging risks such as cryptocurrency-based sanctions evasion. Premier and Minister for Financial Services and Commerce, the Honorable Andre Ebanks, says hosting this event underscores our commitment to strong regulation and international cooperation.
By coming together as the UK global family to ensure that we consistently, effectively uphold strong sanction regimes, we are safeguarding the integrity and stability of the international financial system. Equally important, our working together guards the safety and prosperity of our respective home countries.
Across the 3 days, delegates tackle topics like intelligence sharing, the use of cryptocurrency for sanctions evasion, enforcement tools like civil monetary penalties, and the UK's first successful criminal prosecution for sanctions breaches. They also worked through an interactive trade sanctions exercise and heard from the U.S. Office of Foreign Assets Control and the British Embassy in Washington on transport sanctions and frozen asset reporting. Governor Jane Owen underlined the importance of sanctions as a foreign policy tool, praising the role of overseas territories and crown dependencies in delivering coordinated action given their significant share of global financial flows. April Cummings, Radio Cayman News.
Thank you, April. In other local news, the Minister for Home Affairs and the Cayman representative to the UK are making the rounds in London this week. It started with breakfast for Caymanian students studying in the UK.
Maintaining strong connections with our students overseas is vital, and opportunities like this allow us to listen, engage, and ensure Caymanians feel supported as they pursue their goals.
Dr. Tasha Ebanks-Garcia joined the Honorable Nicholas DaCosta in discussions with former Home Office Minister Lord Sharp, who is now the Shadow Minister for Business and Trade.
It was also especially meaningful that Lord Sharp took the time to speak with Caymanian students in the UK, reinforcing the connection between the UK Parliament and Cayman's emerging leaders.
The pair then met with Shadow Foreign Secretary MP Dame Priti Patel.
The discussion covered a range of shared priorities, including the UK's engagement with the overseas territories and the Cayman Islands' role on the international stage.
Dr. Ebanks Garcia tells Radio Cayman it was a, quote, thoughtful exchange, underscoring the importance of maintaining strong and constructive relationships. You're listening to Radio Cayman's Evening News. Do you have a plan for earthquake and tsunamis? Tomorrow is the day to get your plans sorted as Cayman participates in the annual Carib Wave Regional Tsunami Exercise.
Cayman is very flat. We're actually about 7 feet above sea level on average. The advice is to go to higher ground. Higher ground meaning second floor above in a concrete building, or if you're in a single story, inland away from the coast, remaining there. The tsunami are a series of waves. It's not just one wave, and it can actually last hours. So just like there's an all clear for hurricanes and tropical storms, there's actually an all clear for tsunamis as well.
Hazard Management, Cayman Islands, Tiffany Young tells Radio Cayman, Carib Wave 2025 focused on education. But this year, the spotlight turns to our tourism partners.
So we're working with them to test their plans, especially because they are coastal locations.
Yes.
And just practice that vertical evacuation. It has to be quick. What people don't realize is tsunami waves can actually arrive within minutes, talking 2 to 5 minutes. And this is why we usually say don't wait for the official warning. I think we've learned from that 2020 earthquake and the 2025 one when you had the tsunami threat that people panic in the moment. So it's so good to just have your plans in place. Everyone knows their role and you feel a lot more comfortable with it.
Last year, Cayman registered more than 11,000 participants, but only 5,200 have signed up so far for the 2026 edition.
So we're a little competitive here in Cayman, so encouraging everyone to get signed up. Going over your emergency plan, you can run a full drill or do a tabletop, prepare a grab bag, or just educate yourself. HMCI has a earthquake and tsunami guidance video. It may be as simple as just watching that and educating themselves. So those are ways they can participate. And if they are participating, we're encouraging them to register with the coordinating international body via tsunamizone.org.
As a part of this year's Carib Wave, the local National Emergency Notification System's NENS app will emit loud alert tones, each lasting approximately 5 seconds between 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. tomorrow morning. For more information, visit caymanprepared.ky/tsunami. In addition to Carib Wave, government has boosted its own capacity to coordinate and respond to major incidents. CIGTV's Kafara Augustin has this report.
The Cayman Islands has made a significant investment in national emergency preparedness with the launch of a new national multi-agency emergency management training program. Developed and led by Hazard Management Cayman Islands, the program is designed to build the capacity of the island's emergency services to coordinate and respond to major incidents. First phase of the program concluded on Friday, 13th of March, following 8 days of intensive training delivered by facilitator Paul Dutton.
We have been delivering a bronze incident commander's course, or those bronze commanders who respond at speed to emergencies and disasters. And in that first hour, the golden hour, take control, command and coordinate the response, saving lives and containing the emergency. The people who've done that course have then been trained to become instructors. And over the last 3 days, they've gone on to train a further 17 bronze commanders.
Her Excellency Ms. Jane Owen attended the closing ceremony on Friday, 13th of March, presenting certificates to the successful candidates.
We've had the police, the fire, 911, the regiment, the cadets, obviously Hazard Management, Cayman Islands, all coming together to discuss how we can work as a group. And that is the way you do effective crisis response.
Honorable Premier Andre Ebanks expressed his support for the program.
To reinforce the safety and resiliency of the Cayman Islands, this program is a fundamental investment. As proof, we now have 32 certified bronze level commanders, but also 15 of those 32 certified commanders are also trained instructors who will sustain and grow this capability long into the future. The
program will continue with additional phases later this year and through 2027.
A quick update now on potential affordable housing in East End.
The initiative involving the Cayman Islands government purchasing a large tract of residential development land in East End, filling services and subdividing the land and offering the individual parcels for sale to qualifying Caymanians is progressing well.
Planning Minister, the Honourable Jay Ebanks, told MPs in Parliament that his staff is currently preparing the policy document, which is expected to be completed by Easter.
The Minister's staff are currently preparing the policy document, which is expected to be completed by Easter of 2026. Once finalised, the policy will be submitted to Cabinet for review and approval, and then the government is also active exploring additional land and locations where similar initiatives may be implemented across the island.
Finally, Customs and Border Control has offered further details on a shutdown last week. Radio Cayman's Elizabeth Charles reports.
The Customs and Border Control Service says its Elgin Avenue office experienced what it calls a temporary operational disruption on Thursday, March 12th. In a media release issued today, CBC says that disruption followed an incident involving a small number of detainees who were awaiting immigration processing. On March 12th, in a separate public service announcement, the agency told the public the same office was temporarily closed because of what it described as ventilation issues affecting the facility. Today's statement adds that the office was closed to address health and safety concerns and that professional services were engaged, with normal operations resuming on Friday, March 13th. In that release, CBC's director, Bruce Smith, says the health and safety of staff and the public remains of utmost importance, and he commends the leadership team for what he calls a prompt and effective response. CBC also says the detainees involved in the incident have since been relocated and that immigration processing for those detainees continues in line with its established protocols. For Radio Cayman News, I'm Elizabeth Charles.
That's your latest local news. I'm Jevi Ebanks.